Hello and welcome. In the last 48 hours, we've seen naked power play, leaked audio tapes of inducement of money, vulgar resort politics. One did not think it was possible, but in the last week, the dignity and the confidence of the people in the political system has further lowered. Welcome to new depths in the pit of Indian politics. We're a country today that's not worried about horse trading, but in fact, it seems to have gotten so normalized that people are actually finding it exciting and not dangerous. Now, the BJP President Amit Shah is known to be an admirer of Chanakya, the Maurya era philosopher who was one of the first proponents of real politics. Now, the term Chanakya Niti is often used by his admirers while describing his political strategies. Yet, what happened in Karnataka this week is perhaps better described by a different term from the lexicon of ancient Indian political thought, Matsya Nyaya, or the rule of the fishes, where the strong eat the weak, and there's no notion of morality, ethics, or obligations. Now, that is the subject of our discussion tonight. At what point does legitimate political strategizing cross the line into lawlessness? And where do the shenanigans of the Congress and the BJP fit on this spectrum? On the show today, we have from the BJP, Dr. Ejaz Ilmi, and we have Vaibhav Agarwal. We have Tom Vadakkan of the Congress, spokesperson for the Congress, Danish Ali, spokesperson of the JDS, Professor Neera Chandok, she is a political scientist. We have Nilanjan Mukhopadhyay, journalist, author, and Prime Minister Modi's biographer. We have Sanjay Hegde, he's an advocate with the Supreme Court, and we have S.Y. Qureshi, a former Chief Election Commissioner of India. And also joining us from Washington, D.C. is Milan Vaishnav. He's a director and senior fellow of the South Asia Program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Well, before we get to the larger picture of, you know, what this election has shown us as a mirror to ourselves and what do we want for ourselves as a nation, I just want to get opening statements from each of you about the political message or the main takeaway from this Karnataka election. Mr. Ilmi, for the BJP, is it that the party can't afford to be overconfident that if the Congress gets with regional parties, the BJP can be defeated?
Well, every election throws up its own possibilities. And the good part of a democracy is that the entire essence of democracy is people voting to elect a government of their choice. And we have a lot of hyperbole during elections and all kinds of allegations are traded. But it's ultimately about people wanting to elect, and young aspirational India needs a lot of good governance, and their choice ultimately is the one that has to be respected. That is a clear sense of message for all elections.
So how is this respecting the voice of the people when you had the other two parties, the JDS and the Congress, who was getting a majority after their post-poll alliance?
Well, democracy with the Westminster system, we also have this situation where in the first past post, the smallest party of my friend Kuwar Danish Ali with 37 MLAs, they are the ones in the center siege, they are on the hot seat of the chief minister.
Correct.
And the second largest party supporting them, and the largest party, which is short by 7 seats, is going to be sitting in the opposition. So this is also
it's
something.
The same case in Manipur and Goa.
This is something that this is
BJP
what democracy throws
in the
up.
Seat.
Yes.
Okay. We'll get to that, Mr. Vadakkan. First, then to you. What is the main takeaway for the Congress not to be wary of allies?
Well, what has happened is this is the foundation stone of the forces that have stood up for secularism across the country. This is the opening up of the reality that India stands for. This is not about a power struggle that Congress wants to succeed. This is about India, the larger story of India. We want to establish the right India, the India that we all have dreamt of. It is not the kind of narrative that is being given to us, but it's a narrative
of living together. But you can only do that if you're in a position
together.
Of power.
It is yeah.
So how do you get to that position of power? I'm asking, has this been a watershed moment for you? Because you had feelers from the JDS even before, right? But the Congress chose to ignore them. And if you had tied up with them, then you could have decimated the BJP. So
well,
what has been the learning point of this election?
But the whole issue is we did, finally. End of the story is that we have a good coalition partner.
But we could have been saved all of this, this ugliness
no,
and dirtiness
I'm,
of the past
we
week.
We could have been saved of all this. But this is a one hand playing the whole game. The entire establishment was, we were up against it. We were hunted down, haunted down, you name it all happened with us. We had to move our elected MLAs from state to state. And what was the wrong they'd committed? They wanted to vote for the party that they stood for the people they stood for. And that opportunity was, you call it Chanakya Niti, you call it whatever Niti, but that's not democracy. That's exactly what happened in Karnataka. It's a sad story, and the story of democracy dipping so low has never been seen in free India, ever.
Okay, but Mr. Vatakan, Congress is now down to 3 states. So are you now demonstrating, you think with Karnataka, you're demonstrating to allies that you're willing to go the extra mile, the Congress is willing to go that extra mile to take on the BJP? Is that the message going ahead for the next 3 states that elections are coming up and 2019?
Sir, we have done that before. You remember the Rajiv Gandhi days. We have signed accords. We have lost out. But when national interest comes, Congress party does not compromise. This is mission to throw this dispensation out and restore to India the pride, the reality of pluralistic India. That's our motive.
Lalit Ali, what is the message for the JDS that you, regional parties, if you have to take on the Modi-Shah duo, you're going to either have to unite or perish?
That is what it's happening in Karnataka. During elections of Karnataka Assembly, even before that, from the day one we were saying this, that Karnataka, outcome of Karnataka election is going to change whole Indian politics. And Karnataka will be the taking off ground for the unity of opposition. And you will see that from day after tomorrow onwards, from Wednesday onwards, my friend Ejaz Ilmi's parties, countdown will begin. Enough is enough. People in this country are fed up with you now. And that is why you will see on Wednesday.
But Mr.
That
Ali,
whole opposition part. See,
no, I'm not.
But Mr. Ali, what you have right now is a person whose party has won 38 seats. He now has the gumption to demand the chief minister's post, and he's getting it, and he's, you know, his attitude is walking around like he deserves it. Is that the voice of the people, the mandate of the people?
See, the mandate of the people was clear. People did not want BJP to sit on the power seat. They have given the mandate. Now, in our democracy, according to the constitution, according to the conventions, if single party doesn't get the majority, then you have only two options. Either of the two parties comes together, numbers has to become, or you go for the fresh polls. So you can't, because BJP cannot say that, because they are demanding for one nation, one election, so they can't even demand for the fresh polls. And we cannot ask for the president's rule to from prime minister's office running the Karnataka. So there was no other option but two parties to come together. Which two parties can come together? Which are ideologically more closer to each other. Which can form some common minimum
this
program.
This could have easily gone the other way. You could have easily tied up with the BJP too.
No. Why
do you say ideologically together? Because the Congress had called you the B party of the BJP. They called you JDS, stands for JD Sangh.
See, in elections, because JDS and Congress were fighting for the same political space. Let us be very plain.
Okay. Yeah.
And they were during the election process. You know, in India, all political leaders, our prime minister says that I promise 15 lakhs to the common man, that I will bring back black money within 100 days, and I will give 15 lakhs to everybody's account. And they say it was just a jumla.
But the point is, there is no
at
political
least
space
we have
left.
Not committed
the BJP
that
is not leaving political space left unless you all tie up. Mr. Ali, then come in here. Was this in the end, in hindsight, a self-goal? Because with this blind obsession to get Karnataka, now what the Modi Shah combined has done is actually created real opposition unity.
No, the opposition is unity is bound to be there when the BJP is in power in 21 states. And geographically, in 80% of this, 75% of India, and where 80% of the population resides, it's obvious that the opposition parties will have to get together. It's going to be Modi versus the rest. We understand that. So we build up. We also need to have our own allies. We've lost an important ally in Chandrababu Naidu, but we need to work with like-minded parties who don't really enjoy the hegemony of the Congress culture, which is seen for a long time. On democracy, I must say that my friends, the new young Chanakya, Storm, and especially Kumar Dhanesh Ali, these are the new Chanakyas who got together. Well, democracy has been alive and thriving in this country. It doesn't start from Karnataka. It's every election is a process and a mandate from the people. And let's not forget, 14 wars, and after that 16 elections that the BJP has won, it's won because the young voters and the voters wanted a change and wanted to give an opportunity for the BJP to form governments in those states. So even that was democracy, and even this is democracy.
Okay, Neera, come in here. What is the main takeaway for you from this election?
You know, I'm seriously worried. Because if you read what happened, this ignoble spectacle in Karnataka, along with the non-functioning of parliament during the budget session, what we are seeing is actually loss of confidence in the ability of the legislature to debate, to discuss, mm-hmm. and to make laws. Because now debate and discussion has been replaced by the politics of din. And instead of lawmaking, you have ordinances. Now, this is a typical scenario for many countries in the post-colonial world to move towards an executive style of governance. And that is something India must avoid. It's too large, too diverse, too heterogeneous to be governed by one person who is at the head of the state. But legislatures are making themselves irrelevant. And the spectacle, the very ignoble, unpleasant, avoidable spectacle of, you don't know whether the man or the woman you voted, very few women in this election, what they voted for is going to be bought over either by this side Correct. Or by that side. They are herded together, put into five-star resorts, said you make use of the bar, but you will not call. Their phones are taken away. I mean, what kind of a democracy is this? In the end, you're going to be replaced by, and it is happening, the executive is making laws. They are not making laws. And I think opposition parties should be wary of this attempt to suspend the functioning of all legislative assembly. We're going to move from a parliamentary democracy into an authoritarian executive form of government. And that should be avoided. Political parties must learn to censure and to blacklist anybody who's up for sale. They won't do it.
Of course they won't.
But that's a tragedy of parliamentary democracy. You can't trust socialists. You don't know where they're going to go. This is not only Karnataka, it happens in Bihar also.
Then Mr. Qureshi, then what happens in such a case? Because we've moved on where coalition politics is here to stay. That era of like one national party taking on another one is over. So what happens in a case where when you have one political party that hasn't gotten a majority, is the governor's job to call on the party with the largest numbers or the post-alliance party that has the largest numbers? What's the solution here?
Yes, actually 2-3 issues were thrown up in this recent 1 week incident. Number one, the discretionary power of the governor. We have increasingly seen that the quality of governor that we have, unfortunately, has come very, very low. Leaving anything to that discretion must end. Why can't we make it a law? Now, for instance, it will be commonsensical that the party with the largest number should be called first. But since this was violated recently in three states, what is the norm that we have? No norm is the new norm. I will leave it to the governor. Now, what discretion of the governor with this kind of discretion, which brings disgrace to the office? I mean, it's a matter of shame. Let there be the specific laws. And secondly, pre-election coalition should become also the norm, because as you said, that otherwise voters feel cheated, that they voted for one party, but somebody else is the chief minister, and vice versa. So let there be only pre-poll alliances. And which will be very easy, because when the largest party is first given a chance, and if they can form the government, well and good. Otherwise, the next combination can come forward.
Okay, I hear someone saying yes, agreeing vociferously with you, sir. Are you? You're from Karnataka?
Yeah, I'm Karnataka.
Respond over here. What do the voters feel? Because we've had viewers, panelists here saying voters have felt cheated.
They have the interest to get some party, their own parties. They have the trust on that party. So then later on, after electing, they joined to some other party. It hurts the general people.
So you feel cheated?
You cheated, yes.
It's an anti-defection law.
Okay, we need, okay. Ma'am, are you also from Karnataka? Yes. But respond over here, at some level, is this the governance that the people have voted for? Because, for example, in Bangalore, in a cosmopolitan city, the voter turnout was so low. So who do we have to blame? Do we also have to blame ourselves at some point?
Yeah, of course. They are disappointed. Disappointed means in all the parties they have lost interest. That is the main reason, I think.
And maybe that's a vicious circle. So you're disappointed, you don't go out to vote,
yeah,
and then we blame them?
That is their choice.
Hello.
Go ahead, sir.
See,
you're also from Karnataka?
Yeah, I am from Karnataka. One thing I want to say, in the present situation, what has happened is correct. Democracy is restored. This is one thing. Second thing is, see, as you said, in Bangalore city, there is 56% voting. In some areas of the Bangalore city, there was 28% voting. In the Karnataka, there is 70%. See, the thing is, here, all the political leaders, election commission, everything, we need to educate the people, importance of voting, importance of democracy. Then only we can restore a good party, good majority. And one question, last one. I am asking the one question. See, in this whole 4 days drama, so out of 222 seats, 112 is the majority line.
Yes.
BJP got 104.
Yes.
Okay. All the BJP leaders, all the state leaders and central leaders, whenever they spoke on the media, they say, we have the mandate. We have the right to ask for the forming government. Where is the mandate? 104 is not the mandate. So he's correct, 104, they are mind diverting the people, no?
104 is not the complete mandate.
But
37 is the complete mandate, and 77 is the complete mandate. I agree with you, sir.
But 57% of the people of Karnataka has voted against BJP, and they have voted, they have asked us that you should come together to form the government.
Nobody
that is the mandate.
Nobody's asked you anything. May I say something?
Can I go across to Sanjay?
Yeah, please.
Let's just get Sanjay and Mr. Mukhopadhyay. Yeah. But Sanjay, the fact is, they didn't get a majority, but their both seats went up from 14 in the last election to 104. So is there's still a Modi wave. It has worked. The Prime Minister being there, campaigning in 21 constituencies, 31 rallies.
In 2008, Mr. Yediyurappa, who was then a chief minister like Mr. Modi, 110.
Yeah.
So now, please ask with Modi, with Amit Shah, with here, there, everywhere, was there a Modi wave? That's neither here nor there. But I just have to take some issue with what Ijaz said, that, you know, the smallest party has come in this. Please, you almost talked down to the people of Karnataka.
I'm
there.
Saying it's a part of democracy.
The point is this. When we go to vote, we vote for our individual legislators. The legislators together, we have, by our constitution, entrusted everything to the legislature. So the person who can command the confidence of the legislature becomes the leader of the house, and then there is a leader of the opposition. So please do not make it a presidential system saying this versus that. It is not a binary system.
Mm.
So there, Danish is to an extent right when he said that, look, the mandate was fractured. The mandate then compels parties to think which of us can work with which other.
Mm.
And that is how multiple voices are heard and represented in our democracy. To say that only one will speak and only one is righteous and the others are wrong, that is not what a parliamentary system is about. And now, and one more question that the gentleman there raised, 104 was certainly not 112. It was almost like a boy saying that 35 is passing marks. I have got 32. Please make me head boy, which requires everybody to be pass. 3 marks I'll manage somehow, grace marks somewhere somebody will give. This Devre Gati kind of situation is not what is contemplated by the constitution.
Okay, Mr. Mukhopadhyay, come in there on the, you know, the Modi wave. How do you read the numbers? Many looking at these elections saying, you know, it's a watershed moment, the opposition has finally come together. It's given the Congress that psychological push needed ahead of those crucial elections in those bellwether states, MP, Chhattisgarh and Rajasthan.
Before actually trying to read the numbers, let me try to tell you that how do I read the 19th of May. I think it's a very decisive moment in the history of our parliamentary democracy. For the last 4 years, in another 6 days, it will be 4 years of the Modi government, 26th of May. For the last 4 years, this government has presided over a majoritarian thrust and with populist support and autocracy, which has believed or told people that practices a democracy. For the last 4 years, this government has, and the ruling party has assumed and told the people that we are not capable of doing anything wrong. Whatever we do, we are the ones who are the ones who make it, do it absolutely correct. This is a party which has been so confident of itself that it has, you know, made the other parties appear very defeated. It's a very defining moment because in the last one day, we see a total transformation. The BJP for the first time is on a back foot. They have made mistakes earlier, but not of this scale. The Congress is today not the party of 2014. This is a party which is ready to snarl, which is a party which is ready to bite. For the next 1 year, we are going to see much more intense battle, a political fight which had not been seen from the period of 2012 to 2014, when Mr. Modi had a virtual walkover, first within his party, and thereafter in the political terrain, there was absolutely no challenging him. It was just a clean walk. From yesterday onwards, it is going to be very difficult for the BJP. The first impact will be felt that in the coming elections in Madhya Pradesh, Rajasthan, Chhattisgarh, three very crucial states, which are BJP states, which are going to face anti-incumbency of several years. It is going to face the challenge of a united opposition, because the opposition, right from Mamata Banerjee to Devegowda, everybody feels that there is sense to move towards another phase of a basic two-party system. Despite the fact that you have various parties, it's essentially BJP, anti-BJP. It's very similar to the two-party system which was there in the Congress system. But you had the Congress and you had the non-Congress. So you had in 2014 a very low level of the index of opposition unity. In 2019 it's going to be very high. So the basic challenge for the BJP is would be to try to maximize its votes. The amount of votes which it got in 2014 will not work for it.
That's 31%,
37% along with allies will not take it to even around 200 mark. They'll have to do but much more. Where does it get its vote from? It has a very condensating attitude towards allies. Look at the way as to why Chandrababu Naidu. So the BJP has a huge, is a mountain to climb. It's going to be relatively easy for the opposition, but they cannot be complacent because there are fundamental contradictions within the opposition.
So when you say the Congress is no longer the party of 2014, is ready to snarl and bite, isn't that the worry? If everybody is snarling and biting, what levels are we snarling and biting at?
Can we just come in for 1 minute?
Okay, go ahead. I want to go to a minute.
So you can snarl and bite, you know, you can snarl and bite within parliamentary levels. We have had the finest of parliamentary debates in the Nehruvian and in the Shastri era. Even during Mrs. Gandhi's time, we used to have very fine, you know, debates. I still remember some of the finest rebuttals of the government by Mr. Vajpayee, but never has the parliamentary debate or
no
or
one
the
has
public
aspires
discourse
to that
you know,
anymore. That's the problem.
You know, it's been led by people right from the top.
I just want to continue where he left off. What this reminds me is the situation of Rajiv Gandhi. Rajiv Gandhi had a 400 seat majority. He actually joked, "I'll have to create my own opposition." But towards 1988, then he suddenly sank.
Correct.
And then even with a small opposition in parliament, people were not willing to believe that aura of majesty has broken.
Let's go across to Milan. Then Milan Vaishnav, join us in here. So this is that watershed moment, just as it was for Rajiv Gandhi in the past. The BJP has just gotten overconfident and now they have it. This has been a self goal. Respond over here. Was the Modi wave actually working on the ground in Karnataka, or is it waning?
Well, I think what you could say about the BJP is that the Modi presence, without which it probably would have done much worse. I think it tells you something that the man, the prime minister, 4 years deep into his government, still remains popular. And remember, when we turn our sights to 2019 and we have more of a presidential style campaign, you can expect that factor to weigh even more heavily on voters' minds. Having said that...
But presidential style means who is the candidate for the opposition. That's the crux.
Right. I think that's the crux. And I think what the opposition hopes to do, and I think this is the lesson of Karnataka 2018, it's the lesson of Bihar 2015, it's the lesson of the recent Uttar Pradesh bi-polls, which is state by state to try to create an anti-BJP front, not necessarily at a national level, but to have strategic, calculated moves state by state. And that's clearly what the Congress would like to do. But there is a big catch, which is in order to do that, the Congress party will have to subordinate its own ego, its own position in service of a common good. And let's face it, the Congress historically has not been very good at playing second fiddle. So the question is, right, under the presidency of Rahul Gandhi, will the Congress adjust to this new role? And I think the jury is still out on that.
Mr. Vadakkan, come in over here. So in presidential style of election, whether you like it or not, is coming up. Who's going to be the candidate for the opposition?
Well, I'm surprised that you accepted the presidential form of government. This is not acceptable to India. I mean, the condition...
Rahul Gandhi himself said if you win the elections, he can be the prime minister.
Well, he said that, but the point here is, he said... I mean, if you ask him, he's the leader of the party. If I ask you, you are the anchor of the show, and would you continue for the next show? Obviously, you're going to continue. Now, the point here he's made is that he is ready to lead from the front. If he gets the numbers, it's all about numbers. If he gets the numbers, why not? But the issue here is larger. There is a larger agenda. The narrative has changed. The whole country is united. Karnataka is a gate which will teach the BJP the real India. See the real India. And that's where the beginning starts. 70 to 80 seats are going to be down in northern India. Where are they going to replace it? From South India. They're not entering Kerala. They're not entering Tamil Nadu. Mark my words on this. Where are the numbers coming?
No, but
now the question that you asked, who will be the leader? That leader will be thrown up as based on the numbers.
But
so
the Prime Minister, he touched at least 21 assembly constituencies. BJP won only 5 in 2013. This time it's 112. It's rested 6 on the Congress, 1 from the JDS. So the Prime Minister, if you're saying, are they going to go into Kerala? The Prime Minister's, you know, Modi wave or Modi effect, whatever you want to call it, has worked to some extent. No anti-incumbency really seen against Siddaramaiah, but where the Prime Minister campaigned, it's worked.
Well, that's the view that they are trying to sell. But I come from that state and I know what the situation is, the ground reality. He may make speeches and go away, but the reality is people of Kerala have their heads on their shoulders and they know whom to vote. That's a reality. So the point is they may make speeches and go. Speeches is what they specialize in. And this narrative of speeches, no action at the ground level. I mean, you can make huge promises. They have Jumlas and Jumla. They are a Jumla manufacturing factory. And they do it state after state. They recycle Jumlas and present it. And then people are taken for a ride. And this business is ending with Karnataka.
Can I have a one-liner? I'm giving him a slogan. Bhashan achha deta hai. Shasan kaisa hai.
All right, let's Vaibhav Agarwal joins us. Vaibhav, want to get your takeaway. What was the message for the BJP from this Karnataka election? Overconfidence, it's been called, it has been overconfident. If the opposition unites, they can definitely defeat the BJP. And this is a self-goal. You've been so focused on getting Karnataka at any costs. You're willing to do anything to get Karnataka that what you've done in the end is basically inadvertently created a united opposition. A self-call for Amit Shah and Prime Minister Modi.
Good evening. Sorry, I was not able to come in just at the last minute, some changes. But just to answer your question, no, that's absolutely not the right way, just to set the record straight. Congress has been reduced to a party working on a PPP mode, which is what? Which is Punjab, Puducherry and Parivar. You know, let's look at it in a brighter perspective and a larger perspective. I'm sure Tom Barakan would be raising eyebrows right now. I can see him looking around here. So,
that is what the PM Congress said before this election. Yeah, now you can't say that.
No, absolutely.
So the PM has had to eat his words on that.
Let's have fresh lines.
Allow me to say this. Sure. So Congress is not talking.
But Vaibhav, this is the first time in last 4 years ki pehli baar phas gayi Modi sarkar.
No, bilkul bhi nahi. I'll tell you what is the real state, Kumar Danish Ali. What Congress is not talking is Congress is not talking about losing the 12 states that we've taken away from them, but Congress is busy talking about gaining 9 seats.
My friend, what a comparison. You need to study, my friend, very closely. Historical reality you missed out. But Danish times have changed. Move the time.
Danish Ali would be very happy to talk about the 147 seats on which their deposits have been confiscated. Danish Ali would be very happy to talk of the
37 seats you have lost deposit on. 36 in Karnataka.
Okay.
BJP has not lost anything in Karnataka. In fact, BJP has proven its iron.
This is election commission side.
Okay,
all right. Leela, please come in here. What is the, you know, you can, it's always about spin. The BJP has not lost anything in Karnataka, says Vaibhav.
Very quick points to make. I think the Congress and the JD should stop preening. They might have got a chance to form the government, but at great cost. All three parties are complicit in demeaning democracy, in bringing it down to the lowest common denominator. Secondly, you know, I don't think the story ends with the Congress just willing to be another partner in a grand coalition against the BJP in 2019. There are far too many leaders who are throwing their hat into the ring to become the prime minister. I mean, how are they going to decide the competing claims of various leaders? All of them aspire to be the prime minister. Thirdly, you cannot have a viable front just on an anti-BJP platform. I mean, how negative can you be? We've had enough of this accusation of one party against another. What is that you have to offer the people of India, which the BJP doesn't offer? The BJP is a right-wing populist party, and by itself, populism promises everything to everybody. What is this federal front, or whatever they call themselves, going to offer to people which the BJP? You can't run a campaign only attacking the BJP. And likewise, we've had enough of this mudslinging. Frankly, we are fed up.
Danish, respond. How? Forget about the national level. How are you going to sort out your relationship with the Congress going forward? The BJP, actually, all they needed to do was sit back, let the Congress and the JDS come to power, and then fall under the weight of its own contradictions.
You don't worry, Sara. People were not accepting when we initiated an alliance with Bahujan Samaj Party.
Mm-hmm.
People used to say, BSP under the leadership of Mayawati has never had any pre-poll electoral alliance with any political party. And she had an alliance with JDS. It's a small party, regional party in Karnataka and to an extent in Kerala. That is, the whole story has gone wrong. People were not thinking that whether JDS and Congress will come together. In your all shows, wherever I was participating during election, in various TV channels, everybody was saying, all the so-called analysts, political pundits, Kumar Swami is already fixed with Narendra Modi, the Chanakya. Whatever Danish Ali you speak in this studio, Kumar Swami is already fixed by Narendra Modi and Amit Shah. What happened? Congress and JDS came together. We will have a common minimum program. We are going to run a coalition, very smooth coalition. Jab dil mil jate hain, to ye choti-choti cheeze, kuch nahi rehti. As far as madam has said, who will be the leader in 2019? As Mr. Hegde said it correctly, we are in a parliamentary democracy. We are not in a presidential type of one. Whenever the situation has arisen, the political parties of this country has rise to accept that. Ma'am, if you remember in 1996, we all opposition parties at that time, non-Congress, non-BJP party at that point of time, we sat in the Tamil Nadu Bhavan. Mr. Karunanidhi was there. Within half an hour, we decided who will be the Prime Minister. And Mr. Devegowda
became the prime minister for that.
They will decide by give and take, and you scratch my back, I scratch your back.
That's an opportunity.
And in the end, the biggest loser will be the voter, because who we voted for is not going to be in power.
Coalition government.
That was the starting stage of coalition.
Let me give Vijayas a chance to respond, and then Mr. Hegde, Mr. Mukhopadhyay.
Can I come in? I must say this. Unless there is a narrative that the people of this country see, a viable narrative about their livelihoods, agriculture, growth, industry coming up from 25 of these opposition parties, they're not going to buy it, because who's going to accept Mamata? Somebody will not accept Mamata ji. Somebody will not accept Devagaru ji. Somebody will not accept Mayawati. Somebody will not accept Akhilesh. So these things are going to be there. Need a proper narrative to come forward to the people, and let the people of this country decide whose narrative
so the
is
BJP
better for
can
their
sit
lives.
Back yes. And two rest quick, easy. Mr. Hegde, go
points.
Ahead.
More than a prime ministerial candidate, you need a glue to stick things together. Absolutely. You need a HKS Surjit. You need a Jayaprakash Narayan. That is the greatness of India, that cometh the hour, cometh the man. There will be a man. Don't worry about that.
Yes.
And the second part, what is the narrative? And I'll tell you what. As a Kannadiga, as an Indian, what narrative I want to see? I want to see a narrative of people who tell me that you be not afraid. Do not be afraid of what you eat. Do not be afraid of whom you love. Do not be afraid of violence on the streets. We have had an arrogant government which threatens violence through its goon squads. Please free us from that. You will have India's
vote.
With
them. I disagree with okay. you.
I'll go to Mr. Mukhopadhyay and then you.
Like that. I wonder.
I want to just talk about this presidential system which we are talking about. You know, this is essentially a BJP trap, and we should not fall into it. We have had elections in the past which have not been presidential elections. The BJP has tried to presidentialize the election because it has a trump card, which is a single individual. So obviously it is playing to its strength. Now, the challenge for the opposition party is not to fall trap and play according to the strength of the BJP, but play to the strength of Indian political diversity. We have often said that Indian elections are not one election, they are 543 different elections. While this may be a matter of academics, but the point is that we have 29 different elections. You can either have a wave election in this country, or you can have an aggregate of state elections. A wave elections is something which the BJP would want, but at the moment the BJP doesn't have an issue. In 2014, Modi was the issue. He was the wave himself. Today, Modi is not the wave. He cannot yes. be. You cannot yet have a single thing for him to say that this is the reason why you should vote me. Because there is not sufficient to claim as to what has been delivered in the last 4 years. So I do not see really that happening as far as the achievement of the government being converted into a kind of a wave. The challenge for the opposition parties is to fragment the elections into state aggregations, and this is where the BJP is going to stumble very badly. Because the moment you start fragmenting the elections, you take out this entire question that who is your leader? We don't have to have a leader. We have a leader in Bengal. We have Mamata Banerjee there. The strongest regional leader, the strongest leader who's posing the maximum challenge to the BJP in a particular state is the leader of the coalition in that state. That is the way the Congress and the other opposition parties.
Okay, so if we're reading the tea leaves, right? Regional parties, small parties are going to be key. They're going to be
yes,
kingmakers.
Yes, and the Congress should provide a platform for all of them to come together.
Given that, Mr. Qureshi, do we need a stronger anti-defection law? Do we need an anti-defection law that actually has some teeth?
Yeah.
We had a situation where the government's lawyers telling the Supreme Court that this doesn't hold because the MLAs haven't taken their oath yet.
No, before I answer your question, Sarah, about anti-defection law, I would like to comment on the debate of the last 5 minutes, that the coalition governments are now here to stay. Regional parties are going to reassert themselves. I am reminded of a famous quote from the British constitutional history. The parties have realized that if they don't hang together, they will hang separately. Mm. It's a question of their survival. For their survival alone, they'll come together, as has been demonstrated now. And that is the reason why BJP's attempt to presidentialize the election will be countered by the kind of a coalition partnership which is going to stay. The anti-defection law has to be made stronger because even now, thanks to the anti-defection law, the threat that if you defect, you will be thrown out and you will have to recontest an election. But last 1 week, 10 days, we were hearing all the time that these guys will be offered the temptation that if you quit now, we'll bring you back through the MLC route. So therefore, you will lose nothing, and on top you can pocket 20, 30, 50 crores. All this has to
100 crores was the rate, it seems. 100
crores. You know, this is the dirtiest phase that we have seen so far in politics, and we need to correct it. And finally, I would like to say, you have been mentioning from the beginning Chanakya. I don't think we shouldn't give Chanakya a bad name.
A bad reputation.
He was a shrewd strategist and tactician, but he didn't play dirty politics, the kind which we are observing these days. But let's not give him a bad name.
Okay. Was a long-term Milan,
let's just get a reaction from you, Mr. Mukhopadhyay, saying that the Modi wave is no longer existent as it was in 2014.
Well, I think what the BJP is going to try to do is exactly as Mr. Mukhopadhyay said, is they're going to try to nationalize the election. Now, it's up to the opposition whether or not they are going to play to that. But I think what Modi is going to do is say, look, you've given me 5 years to undo 65 years of history. I've made a down payment. I need more time. I've taken the boldest action on black money in independent India's history. We've had no major corruption scandals. We've laid the foundations of a modern welfare state. Of course, then the nationalism card will be played. Now, it's a question whether or not the voters will buy it. But I think we're seeing the construction of a very layered type of approach, because the economic narrative that the BJP wanted to have in 2018-2019 is simply not there. A few years ago, they thought they would have 8+ growth. They would have sub 3% inflation. They would have shrinking fiscal deficits and trade deficits. They would have a revival investment cycle and massive job creation. And we know that those realities have not borne fruit. So therefore, they are coming up with a sort of layer cake strategy that is going to make Modi the centerpiece, but it's going to have different levels. We shouldn't look for binary. Is this about Vikas? Is this about Hindutva? It's going to be all of the above.
Okay. Vaibhav, come in over here. Milan says that the Prime Minister Modi is going to say in 2019 that, look, there'll be no major corruption scandals in my term. Hasn't the whole Karnataka episode severely dented that for the BJP?
No. I'm very amazed that people are not seeing the other side of the coin. You know, if I was to share with you, let's look at it this way. That, you know, everyone's talking about regional parties. Milan just pointed that out. Our senior journalist Mukhopadhyayji pointed it out. And everyone's talking about it. You've been talking about it. You know, let's look at it this way, that the regional parties were always there before as well. They've competed in their own regions, very categorically I'm saying regions, and fought against us and have lost before as well. For example, Chandrababu Naidu will not come and fight in UP, or Mamata Banerjee will not come and fight in UP or go to Hyderabad and fight. I mean, so the regional parties are not really a strength. The fight ultimately is a bipartisan fight, which is basically the Congress versus the Bharatiya Janata Party led by Narendra Bhai Modi and Amit Shah. You know, so there is no doubt about it.
Vaibhav, you will not even sustain the coming together of SP and BSP in UP.
No.
You forget other states.
Kumar,
you are going to come down minimum 60 seats in UP from 73 to 13.
Gorakhpur seat and the by-elections that have happened, you're miscalculating the over antics and you're going on the optics of the entire story. You're not understanding this is politics, and we must be playing some politics in the back end.
Oh, you know, again, you're challenging.
Like, why are you thumping your chest?
Okay.
Don't pull the
Tom Vadakkan, what I'm sensing here is a confidence in the BJP that the Congress is not going to be able to work with regional parties.
Well, till yesterday, they have the confidence in Karnataka also, Sara. Why you forget that? Till 3 o'clock, they were having the confidence.
See, this kind of re-merchants have always existed in this country. They have sold dreams, and now they're dreaming that we can't join hands with the regional party. They're far from mistaken. Regional party has regional representations, and we give them the highest respect. Now, the point here is, if they believe that we can't continue with the regional parties, they're living in a dreamland. We have united with the JDS as a standing example of what we have done. We'll do it elsewhere too.
And believe me, we will have a vision
of each state and the state's interest in mind before forming a complete national state vision.
Mr. Ilmi, I've heard this before,
but let's not forget first a simple reality also. Is that for the last 4 years, a large section of people and the media have been saying that the Congress party and its leadership has been one of the biggest allies of the BJP party. So a lot depends on how the Congress party behaves with the regional allies. So let's see how it plays out. The BJP obviously has its road cut out that they will be seeking re-election on the basis of their programs. And if they've managed to fulfill the aspirations of a large section of people and made their lives better, they'll go on
but
that.
But no corruption taking a big hit.
Absolutely.
You're not going to be able to... So you admit...
What?
That the plank of saying that this party is not corrupt unlike the others is not going to work in 2019
well,
because of what's happened
well,
in Karnataka.
People will decide whether they've seen 2G
so
scams, 4G scams,
from
or coal scams.
The
people
will
decide.
No CAG,
the people
no
decide. The
RTI,
media is there.
No Lokpal,
the media,
no
the
local.
Media is live.
From
kicking.
Where?
We are sitting
media
here.
Is
the
not
media
allowed to even
if there's a scam,
ministry.
The media will bring up the scam.
What are you talking?
Why will the media be quiet? The media,
there is no investigation
the
in
media
place.
Will
there
do
is
his
no
job.
Investigation unit.
The media will do his job.
No,
no
RTI.
Is not there.
All right. Mr. Hegde, he's got his finger up quietly, so let's give him a word and then go in for a break.
Simple. We've seen in Karnataka that they went with the Reddies. They were the Reddies. The MLAs were not willing. Therefore, you had no specific performance. That was a legal pun anyway. Doesn't matter.
All right. On that note, let's quickly go in for a short break and get closing arguments on the other side. Welcome back. You're watching We the People. We have some audience wanting to speak up.
Yeah. My question is to all the political parties. We have anti-defection law, everything, good rules, regulations, pre-poll, post, after polls also. But everything putting aside, all the politicians, political leaders, they are like practicing monkey jumps kind of thing. And I'm really worried that each one of us voters, we are feeling very insecure to whom we need to like vote.
And what are the solutions? Okay. Let's and take that as a closing argument from everyone. One quick response.
So this is to the Congress. The birds of different feathers will be flocking together, but each bird's flight is different. How are you going to manage it? It's going to be a lull before a storm.
Okay. One last, pass it on.
I think, isn't it, we are only talking about how this is the end of the BJP government, but what we are forgetting is the BJP has managed to gather 21 states, and it might be just an aberration in a series of successes. That how are we so confident that 2019, Karnataka will be the end of it?
Okay.
Are we not heading towards like 1971, where opposition held that Indira Hatao and the Indira had the Garibi Hatao? Are we not heading towards that in 2019?
Possible.
Okay, let's get closing arguments. Milan, first to you, is it just stupid to be lamenting the state of affairs, the falling standards of morality that we're seeing in politics today? That is the reality. You need real politics to take on real politics.
Well, I think one of the things, Sarah, we haven't spoken about at all yet is, this Karnataka soap opera would be highly entertaining if it didn't so effectively shine a light on democracy's underbelly. Despite all of the rhetoric we've heard, money power does not look diminished. We have what was one of the most expensive state elections in recent Indian history.
Correct.
We have the return of the Reddy brothers.
Yes.
We have tens of crores pledged to would-be defectors. We have 97% of incoming MLAs from Karnataka who are
crorepatis.
50% of them are worth 10 crores or more. So all of this, I think, speaks volumes about the doublespeak of cleaning up money in politics. The blame is on the government, but it's also on the opposition. And this, every party is an equal opportunity offender, and I wish we could talk more about that.
Sanjay, who will do the cleaning up? Everybody stands to gain by this. 16 of the new MLAs are worth more than 100 crores. It's the easiest way to make a quick buck in India. Just go into politics.
Yeah, those with 100 crores will probably end up making 200 crores. That's the way the cookie crumbles. And unless you finally come down to state funding of elections and strict monitoring, this is what you'll get, because unless governments decide that clean elections with people not having to stretch their hands out is a necessity for democracy in this country, you will just not have clean elections.
Mr. Mukhopadhyay, is it going to get worse now going forward? We thought this was the pits, but we have three big states, we have a general election coming up. Is it going to get worse?
You know, the role of Manipur is definitely not going to diminish. You know, that is something that we are fairly clear about. But I just want to say, you know, that how, what is the roadmap kind of ahead, you know. I think the opposition has to be very clear that Wednesday, when Mr. Kumaraswamy takes oath along with his cabinet, whichever is there, that is not the end of this chapter, but it's the beginning of a new chapter, a much more challenging chapter. The opposition must concede that they have not worked half as hard as the BJP and Mr. Modi have worked over the last almost 10 years. Mr. Modi, whether we like it or not, has this tremendous capacity to actually break his back to achieve power. He's a person who is completely dedicated to pursuit of power. That kind of
at
hunger,
all costs?
Which is, you know, to achieve power, and that kind of hunger for power, I do not see it primarily immoral. I do not see it. But it has to be scrupulously played. It has not been scrupulous so far in the last 4 years or even before that. But the rules of the game can be changed by the opposition parties. I am sure that the voters are going to look for parties which are more scrupulous than the other ones.
Neera, this hunger for power is not immoral. It's what you need to win in a country like India. Closing
argument.
Of course,
it's important. I think, in fact, we, the people of India, have to take a pledge that we are not going to vote again for a candidate who has jumped ship and who's shifted to the other party. I mean, this is, we have to take it up because political parties are not doing anything about it. But more importantly, I think all political parties have to sit down and put on their thinking caps, if they have any. What do they have to offer citizens of India? As of now, we are not being offered anything except minor tinkering with whatever is going on, economically, socially, culturally, politically. I don't see anything new coming onto the horizon of Indian politics, and that
Mr.
is
Qureshi, our tragedy. Quick closing argument. What's the solution?
You know, the
way out?
First of all, I would not say that hope is any strategy, that people will conduct themselves, political parties will behave. We must have institutional checks. And one institutional check which I suggest, which you mentioned earlier, anti-defection law. Here the possibility is that somebody for 100 crores defects and he is allowed to contest again in 2 months and he comes back. Disqualify him for 6 years and then see the difference.
Mr. Elmi, the BJP set the trend with what happened in Goa and Manipur and these other states, and now it's only going to get worse.
Well, it's very clear. Goa, it was a fractured mandate. We tied up with two other regional parties. In Manipur, Meghalaya, we tied up with 2, 3, and 4 regional parties. It is about the power sharing arrangement to form a government is also about ceding space to other parties representing aspirations of different areas, regions and castes. So unless you have that, if you have a hegemony, then
but
only
you don't
the Congress
believe the Congress and the JDU will be able to do that. Quick one, Mr. Bhatkam, would
I
you like to do it?
I just want
to
answer that question in that issue that he has
seconds,
raised. It was Rashtrapati Rajbhavan politics that they played in Goa and other places. Be it me. But I have a suggestion to make. Election Commission can proactively, when the code of conduct is in place, ensure that the government agencies, I repeat, government agencies like IT, your ED, should not get into the business of this monkey business of pandering to the leadership.
Since you're actually giving us a solution, we're giving you time to complete. That's a good point. Whatever happened, I think we can say whoever's won or lost this disgusting political game in Karnataka, it's clearly the average voter who has been the loser. We're completely out of time. We the people, it's important that you all speak up. It's also important that you listen to others.
That is what the BJP is.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much all for joining us tonight.